Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming of a sort from our station in New York City, and I welcome all of our affiliates and people listening all over the world. When I say video streaming, we're having a little technical glitch, so you can see, but you have to also pick up the audio from your computer. Today, it's TalkBack, which means it's that one program a week devoted exclusively to helping people in the audience address the issues that are important to them and providing a forum for you to share your thoughts and insights and suggestions that can help us all. Our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Today, we're going to be talking about how to help your body if you have colorectal polyps, also cognitive impairment, colorectal cancer, seizures, lowering your blood pressure and your risk of dying of heart disease. And if you've been taking some of those FDA-approved anti-cancer drugs, well, serious side effects, including inducing stem cell tumors from the anti-cancer therapy. Well, that's ironic. So you take an anti-cancer chemotherapy and you get cancer. Also from Newcastle Journal, a major study, dental experts issue global sugar warning. And antibiotic-resistant bacteria cases grew by 12,000% in just 7 years. What's that mean to us? And also, do those steroidal hormones given to livestock, the chickens, the beef, the pork, does that come through humans? Yes, it does. Our classroom on the air today, Coenzyme Q10, benefits to help you with heart disease. Our environmental segment today is going to take a look at what happens when we go into a conflict zone, such as Kosovo, which was part of Yugoslavia, and we drop 10 tons of depleted uranium. We're going to poison the soil and the water and the people. But what happens if there's a report and they suppress it? Well, that's not unusual, but we'll tell you. If time permits, I want to give you an insight from a top overseer of a governmental agency about trying to help misconduct in science, get rid of the frauds and the people who will exaggerate or out-and-out lie in order to keep or get government grants. Well, this man just quit. Why? I'll tell you that. That's an interesting story because it also highlights something I've been saying all along, that all these bureaucracies exist today for their own perpetuation, and they should be shrunk down to what we actually need to protect us and to help us. But we haven't done that. There's been virtually zero oversight over any government agencies. As a result, they're just a massive cancer growing inside of the American psyche, and we pay for it. Have you ever thought that if you and I commit a crime, any crime, we'll be held accountable and we'll pay a fine or go to jail? Why shouldn't people who run corporations have to be responsible for the choices they make? Instead, the corporation pays a fine, doing business is just part of that, and they walk away. Dr. Gary Coles, Global Research, The Powers and Abuses of America's Mega Corporations, If Time Permits. So we have a lot to share. All of it is meant to empower us, even the hard articles and the tough commentaries that I write and share with you are still meant to help us. I did a series of commentaries recently. I'm trying to do at least three a week. And a recent one was on the psychopaths of Wall Street. And I define what a psychopath is by the classical definition and then show you that the majority of corporations are run by psychopaths. Well, how does that impact us? You see it now. So, read the articles. They're all posted, and they're important. because they empower you. Because then you understand why we're never going to have the people in power or the people running these agencies make good decisions for us. Always good for them. Let's begin. Some people, because of their diet and stress, they end up with an inflamed colon, which is not good. Because an inflamed colon, you can end up with polyps. Those polyps could turn cancerous. And you end up one day with one of the worst cancers, colorectal cancer. But here's the good news. The British Journal of Cancer described the findings of Harvard researchers of a lower risk of colorectal polyps in women who use multiple vitamin supplements. They examined 43,000 women in the Nurses Health Study who underwent initial colon examination and in the sigmoid, and they did this over a period of almost two decades. Here's what they found in the follow-up. You lowered your risk of colorectal polyps if you took multiple vitamins every day. Also, you improved your chances of cognitive impairment being lessened if you took gamma tocopherol and the tocotrienols. This was an experimental gerontology, and they uncovered a protective effect of higher levels of vitamin E. Now, when I talk about tocotrienols, tocotrienols, they are a part of the subfractions of the gamma tocopherol, beta tocopherol, and all part of the same family. When they were used in this study, it lessened the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease or mild cognitive impairment. My suggestion is to use 400 to 800 units of mixed tocopherols and 100 to 200 units of tocotrienols a day. Also, if you have a reduced level of vitamin D, which most people do, and magnesium, which most people do, then you're going to increase your risk of insulin resistance. This was published in the Journal of Clinical and Diagnostic Research, and it shows that we have a lot of diabetics or pre-diabetics because they're just not getting enough vitamin D and magnesium. So I suggest 1 to 5,000 units of vitamin D3 a day and 600 to 1,000 milligrams of magnesium from citrate a day. If you take too much magnesium, you'll get an upset stomach and generally diarrhea, and so then you back it back. Try to take the same quality and quantity of vitamin calcium, the mineral, as you would magnesium. Also, from the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, from England's Medical Research Council, they found that higher vitamin D during pregnancy benefits your offspring. So make sure you're getting your vitamin D if you're pregnant. It could be extremely important for you. I've mentioned many times why you should have your blood checked twice a year. And having it checked so that you measure your stress hormones, that's important because that can precipitate oxidative stress and damage your cells. It prematurely ages you. It can kill you. But also you should check other inflammatory markers in the blood, such as homocysteine, C-reactive protein, fibrinogen. Because if it's increased, you could have a 200 to 300% increase of a heart attack or cancer or stroke. Here's something else. This is from the Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and they report that a higher homocysteine level is associated with an increased risk of colorectal cancer. Now, that's independent of oxidative stress and antioxidant capabilities. So, this is important. We didn't know that elevated homocysteine increases the colorectal cancer. One more reason to take your folic acid, B6, trimethylglycine, vitamin B12. Those four nutrients can bring your homocysteine levels down into the safe range. Also, according to the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, a major journal, you can substantially lower your risk of death from cardiovascular disease among men and women if you take higher amounts of the omega-3 fatty acids. That's good. This was from the Singapore Chinese Health Study. 63,000 people, men and women, were examined between 45 and 74 over a 5-year period. So you lower your risk by 17% of dying from cardiovascular disease if you take in your omega-3s every day. Also, curcumin sensitizes colon cancer cells to chemotherapy, from the peer-reviewed journal PLOS ONE. Now, I'm opposed to 5-fluorouracil, a chemotherapy agent. But if you are using it, if you take curcumin, you're going to get better results. Also, vitamin D offers pain relief in fibromyalgia. This is from the peer-reviewed journal Pain, and they found that vitamin D makes a big difference. So get your vitamin D to reduce pain, of muscle pain, which is fibromyalgia. And in women, the Mediterranean diet lowers sudden cardiac death risk substantially. What most people don't realize is that for women, there is no warning for most heart attacks. There's no slight pain, tingling, dizziness, chest pain, shoulder pain, arm pain. It's just, boom, it happens, and a person dies. This is from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. They examine the Mediterranean diet, which we all know is rich in nuts, vegetables, root vegetables, seeds, legumes, bean soups, fish, lots of fruits, especially grapes, red wine. And even though they have dairy, it's generally not the same dairy we have, because it's a healthier cow feeding on grasses. They really understand the importance of organic in the Mediterranean. So that is their diet, and complex carbohydrates as well. They eat a lot of potatoes, they eat a lot of whole grain pasta. So there were 93,000 people, women in this study, and this was called the DASH study. Dietary approaches to stop hypertension. And what they found was you could lower your risk of dying of a heart attack by 33%. Now, why is this important? Because if you could lower your risk with just diet by 33%, think of all the studies that exist independent of this, out of which there are thousands, that show you can reduce your risk of a heart attack by taking coenzyme Q10. And NADH, and the polyphenols from pomegranate, and vitamin E, and vitamin C. So if you did it all, good diet, exercise, didn't smoke or drink, and took your supplements, you could reduce your chance of dying of a sudden heart attack by 100%. The vast majority of Americans use only orthodox therapies. I'll be doing a report later this week, a special investigation. And I'm going to be doing several special investigation reports per week. This week it's on the actual cost of cancer treatment. And you will be appalled when you see that many of these drugs cost $100,000 to $130,000 a year per drug. No other therapy. We're not talking about hospitals, the oncologist. We're just talking about a drug. Well, clearly it can't cost that amount of money to make it. It doesn't. But they lump everything into their cost and pass it on to you. How can they get away with it? It's called lobbying. It's called pass the money around. That's how they get away with it. So anyhow, we have to assume then that the drugs they're giving us at these outrageously expensive prices, which Medicare pays, and your insurance company, of course, it all comes back to you paying higher taxes or higher premiums or higher deductibles or copays. Then you're assuming they work, right? No, don't make that assumption. You'd be wrong. But there's also serious side effects. This is from the University of Massachusetts. Quote, serious side effects. Several FDA-approved anti-cancer drugs induced stem cell tumors. So you understand what I'm saying in lay language? the anti-cancer drugs create cancer. I'll quote, using a new approach to systematically test chemotherapy drugs in an unusual animal model, a research team led by the University of Massachusetts Amherst molecular biologist Michelle Markstein and Norman Perlmanon at Harvard Medical School report that several have a serious side effects, inducing hyperproliferation in stem cells that could lead to tumor reoccurrence. Quote, we discovered that several chemotherapeutics that stop fast-growing tumors have the opposite effect on stem cells in the same animal, causing them to divide too rapidly. This was a surprise because it showed that the same drug that could have opposite actions on cells in the same animal, suppressing tumor growth in one cell population while initiating growth in another. Not only is this finding of clinical interest, but with this study we used an emerging new non-traditional tool for assessing drugs using stem cells in the fruit fly gut, end quote. So, think of it this way. We have been having one model and one model only for over 45 years in the official war on cancer. We've spent hundreds of billions of dollars. And look at how miserable the results. This year, more than 550,000 Americans will die using only chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation. Many of them will have had their cancer diagnosed and treated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, had it shrunk, or seemingly went into remission, but now comes back and 5 tumors manifest where there were 1. Again, they go right back to doubling down on the same therapy that failed the first time. Instead of learning, we need to completely deconstruct the entire medical model in the United States for all diseases. With the exception of emergency medicine, American medicine has failed miserably. And yet, because of the money spent and the money earned, and the power that it gives to those in charge, no one is willing to acknowledge their limitations, and as a result, things continue on. That's why so many people are now looking at alternative therapies. Newcastle Journal from England. A major group of scientists created a draft report for the World Health Organization from Newcastle University that recommended sugar levels should be cut significantly as part of a global initiative to reduce tooth decay. The study, commissioned by the World Health Organization, showed that when less than 10% of calories in the diet is made up of free sugars, there's much lower levels of tooth decay. Well, we in America, we get most of our calories from some form of sugar. Let's say that you have 10 grams of sugar, white crystalline sucrose. That is a small amount. And that would fit into about a half a teaspoon. In one cola, you could get 12 teaspoons of sugar. So think of how much you're actually taking in. But if you had some cherries and pineapple, with all their wonderful healing phytonutrients and antioxidants and flavanols, you'd be getting 10 grams of sugar. But it's healthy sugar. It's natural fructose. And yet we're not getting the natural fruit. If only our children in the United States ate sugar in the form of real fruit. So they got a little bit of sugar in the orange, or less in the grapefruit, or in some grapes. That would be good for them, instead of getting it in high fructose corn syrup or glucose solutions. So finally, they're paying attention to this at the national level and the world level. And finally, we've had a major resurgence of bacteria that are simply resistant to antibiotics. Now, what this means is this. Antibiotics, without question, are one of the greatest medical discoveries, and we can thank Alexander Fleming for this, because it saves lives. You have a bacteria, you have an antibiotic that is specific to that bacteria, you can kill the bacteria and save the patient. But what if you get antibiotics on a regular basis, especially in childhood, for things that you shouldn't, like inner ear infections, which are frequently caused by the vaccines. And also allergies to dairy are very common that you end up with that. You can always look at for a food allergy by looking at the corner of the eye. And if you have a line right down from the corner of the eye down towards where the bridge of the nose is coming out around, that's generally an allergy line. If you have discoloration around the eyes, generally from allergies. If you eat something and then have to clear your throat, if you eat something or drink something, you go almost always, that's an allergic response. Now someone else may not have that response, so you have to test yourself to see, are you allergic to that specific item? Additionally, we then take antibiotics in the food we eat. And then one day, we have some emergency, and we have an infection, and it's not healing itself, so you're given an antibiotic. And it doesn't work. Then you find out you have an antibiotic-resistant case of bacteria, and it overgrows. According to the latest study, it has grown by 12,000%. That's huge, 12,000%. Quote, this is from one of the articles from the CDC. Antibiotic use has been beneficial, and when prescribed and taken correctly, their value to patient care is enormous. However, these drugs have been used so widely and for so long that the infectious organisms the antibiotics are designed to kill have adopted to them, making the drugs less effective. People infected with antimicrobial resistant organisms are more likely to have longer, more expensive hospital stays and may be more likely to die as a result of the infection, end quote. Okay, well, why don't you, CDC, and why don't you, AMA, oh, I forgot, their union for doctors are not going to do anything. Then why don't the National Institutes of Health, that oversees all medicine in the United States, why don't you tell doctors to stop prescribing antibiotics for flu and colds? Those are viral in nature, not bacterial. And yet most people suffering from a cold or flu will get an antibiotic. And it's worthless, and it sets them up for having that in their system. And finally, on top of that, from Natural News, quote, how do steroidal hormones given to livestock affect the humans who consume them? Do women get breast cancer more often when their hormones are thrown out of whack? You bet. Are those cases more severe than others? The jury's still out on that one. What about thyroid tumors and ovarian cancer? Can those come from eating meat and drinking dairy from cows that were given hormones to make them fatter? Yes. Those tumors can come from hormone overload. Do men get testicular cancer from an overdose of hormones? Yes. How much do you know about steroids? Do you know if steroids are a class of hormones or hormones a class of steroids? Then what's a steroid hormone? Overdosing on hormones can be likened to infertility and coronary heart disease. You could be consuming hormones that are giving you a bad situation. For example, when you eat hormone-loaded turkeys or pigs or chickens or drink that milk or eat that red meat, they're all bad for you because they could have the hormones, including milk with the recombinant bovine growth hormone. Quote, 99% of feedlot cattle in the United States are given steroidal hormone implants. That's right, about 35 million beef cattle. Of those entering feedlots, 99% are given steroidal hormone implants to promote faster growth. And that's the same kind of muscle-building androgens that athletes consume. A large percentage of poultry and pigs are fed these same drugs. So that's the case. And then you end up one day having that build up in your body, and then you have problems. That's our health and nutrition information. Now it's time for calls. 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Nall. We'll take your calls after these messages or this music. Please stay with us. have you with us today. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting and video streaming from our studios in New York City. If you'd like to watch any of our programs, just go to ustream.tv. That's U, the letter U, STREAM.tv. Let me also mention before we take our calls that we post dozens of articles in important categories every day. Women's health, seniors' health, pregnant women, animal care, environmental issues, the issues that make a difference for progressive minds. And a progressive mind is simply a person who wants the truth and be empowered by it. That's it. It has no political connotation. It's not about left or right. And as a result, we have people from all walks of life listening. And I want to thank the 50 million people who've downloaded my program. Did you hear the number? 50 million. 50 million who downloaded. I also want to thank the tens of millions who have gone to Google and Googled Seeds of Death, the movie. And you'll see the first, I think it's the first 60 entries, almost 10 pages on Google. It's all about the film. That means that people are downloading it, going to look for it, watching it, and then sharing it with people. And that's helping our causes around the world to fight the battle against GMO companies that don't want food labeled. We want it labeled. We want it banned. But labeling is important. So thank you. Keep looking at the articles. We have a bunch up there. We have thousands of articles, and I'm trying to put one new article a week up there. Just finished putting one up on overcoming dementia. Just put another one up, which you'll see today, on overcoming arthritis. The latest protocols. Have another one up there on cancer, the latest approaches to cancer, plus the hidden hand. Lots of articles, over almost 30 articles on vaccines and the lack of science, efficacy, and safety behind them, and on fascism. So whatever that's important, we're posting on a daily basis. So thank you for going up and supporting all the other progressives around the world. There's a lot of us. We are in the hundreds of millions, and we make a difference. Just as something on our environmental issue, they told me we just had a... Why I haven't taken any calls up to this point is because I was informed we have a technical glitch, but they now say that that glitch has been resolved, so you can now call in. If you did before, sorry you didn't get through, you can now call in, and they can take you at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Happy to have you on the line, and the rest of the program will be yours. Unless we have no calls, in which case I've got a lot to share here, and we'll get to all the different issues I wanted to. I want to go to our environmental report, and this is from the Macedonian International News Agency. Quote, report, NATO bombed Kosovo with 10 tons of depleted uranium, poisoning Southeast Europe. Yugoslavia has been contaminated with toxic substances, among which the most dangerous is polychlorinated biphenyl, or PCB, highly carcinogenic, genetic, and responsible for immunological diseases. In May of 1999, the United Nations hid from the public a report by Bakary Conte, head of the first mission of the United Nations Environmental Program, about the environmental consequences of the bombing of Yugoslavia. The UN has never published the text, but parts of it leaked out, and we now have what we can report to you from the independent journalist Robert Parsons, a reporter from the international institutions in Geneva. He managed to get Conte's report from his source in the UN, and here is what it has to say. That's so important. It's entitled Hidden Alarming Report on the Consequences of Bombing Yugoslavia Toxins That UN Will Not See. Talk about how the reports on the health consequences of the use of depleted uranium weapons in the Balkans were censured and changed in the offices of the United Nations. After 12 days of his stay in Yugoslavia, which was still being bombed at the time in May of 1999, where he was with missions of other agencies of the UN system, Bakary submitted a report to his office at the UN. which was speaking about ecological horror. Atmospheric and the soil in the former Yugoslavia had been permanently contaminated with toxic materials because of the bombing of industrial chemical complexes and the use of depleted uranium weapons. Now, the report was categorical in its assessment that the future generations living in the bombarded soil will suffer from cancer, leukemia, and a number of miscarriages and deformities of newborn will increase. Conte's report further says that because of the bombing, the nature in Yugoslavia has been contaminated with toxic substances, among which the most dangerous is polychlorinated biphenyl, or PCBs, highly cancer-causing, and the report stresses that 1 liter of PCBs is enough to contaminate 1 billion gallons of water. Let me repeat that. 1 liter can destroy 1 billion gallons of water. Now, PCP is located in the electrical substations and numerous oil refineries, which were the target of NATO. It is added that the bombing of numerous factories, which process heavy metals, caused, among other things, the spreading of cadmium and methylmercury, the most poisonous form of mercury. And these are metals that are poisonous even if they are spread on an area of several thousand kilometers. The result, the Danube, was poisoned. In the 8 chapters of the report, Conte speaks about the pollution caused by the depleted uranium weapons. Quote, according to the available data, NATO used depleted uranium ammunition targeting military and civilian targets. The 30mm ammunition was used. It was fired mostly from aircraft A-10, as well as within cruising missile Tomahawks. These missiles can penetrate 57mm thick steel. Their load is radioactive, and it is believed that they contain uranium-238, whose radiation is approximately 3.4 MBQs. Uranium belongs to a group of toxic elements that can enter the second group of radionuclides of very high toxicity. This kind of ammunition is nuclear waste, and its use is very dangerous to health. The use of this ammunition was terrible in the consequences for the population because, in addition to physical injuries, it caused radiological contamination. This contamination has toxic and radioactive consequences that cause cancer. End quote. Now, that was given to the Director General, a Klaus Toffler, at the UN Environmental Group. Conte further says, quote, during the use, meaning the explosion of the depleted uranium weapons, it's produced uranium oxide, U-308 and UO2, as well as, among other things, very reactive gas, radium, and radon. The oxide particles have a width of between 0.5 and 5 microns, and wind can carry them to a distance of several hundred kilometers. Now, since in the region of Yugoslavia, dominant northwestern winds, this means that the pollution goes from Yugoslavia to Hungary, Germany, Croatia, and Bosnia, Albania, Macedonia, and Greece. And there was 9.45 tons of depleted uranium dumped on Kosovo. Parsons said that already the data of the Dutch government coincided with the data of the UN non-government organization's MTP Military Toxic Project, showing that it was all over the place. And the White House and President of the United States knew that the bombs contained depleted uranium. It was only after great public outcry that America acknowledged that the ammunitions were loaded with dirty uranium. And the Balkan Working Group within the UN was the one to alarm the world public of this, but not a single thing has been done since then. So here is an issue. All around the world, there are millions, estimated at least 10 million, personal landmines. You go into a conflict zone like Vietnam or Cambodia or Laos or Iraq or Afghanistan, the landmines are planted, and then when the conflict is ended, everyone goes away. But what about the people that live there? Every year, thousands of children step on one of those landmines, and they get a leg blown off. So you have all these amputees all over the world. Not once have we agreed that this is a wrong thing. We manufactured them, And we don't sign the treaty that would ban them because someone is paying politicians and lobbying groups are influencing that we don't want to be responsible for cutting off anyone's profit line. Now think of what happens when you go into a country and use depleted uranium. What happens is simple. You leave the soil and the water polluted for all of eternity. The half-life of depleted uranium can be over 1 billion years. So the ground that these people play in is no different than today, finding children playing around old abandoned uranium mines from the 1940s out in the government-controlled but Indian reservation lands. There were more than 10,000 uranium mines out there, and none of them were cleaned up. Nor were the citizens told that the mines would end up causing cancer and immune dysfunction in them decades later. So if we won't even tell our own citizens of how they're going to be sick, then you know we're not going to tell the people in Iraq or Afghanistan, nor the Clinton administration that was responsible for the bombing of Kosovo in Yugoslavia, or at that time. Oh, and by the way, did I miss something in my history? If we're complaining about Russia interfering with the Crimea, and we don't want that to be in any way annexed or become a part of Greater Russia, even though it's no bigger than the size of Manhattan, the Ukraine is a different matter altogether. The Ukrainians should remain autonomous, but they're utterly corrupt at every level. So unfortunately, the poor people of Ukraine, which is Europe's basket case, is they're only going to get exploited for their natural resources. They'll get loaded up with debt that none of that debt from the International Monetary Fund, which is not a gift, it's a loan. They'll have to go through an amazing austerity program, much like Greece. So as poor as the people in Ukraine are, as struggling as they are, they're now going to find that their pensions are cut, their services from the government are cut, all because of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, two complete criminal organizations, in my opinion. But didn't we go in and say to Yugoslavia, visualize today Yugoslavia being Russia, and didn't we say to the people of Croatia, you want an independent Croatia, we support you. Not only did we support them, but we were the cause that they finally were able to effectively secede and have their own nation. And for the Croats, but we militarily intervened, and we also bombed things that were against the Geneva Convention. We bombed utility stations, water stations. We bombed things that in war you're not allowed to bomb, and yet we did it in Iraq in 1991. We did it again. We've been notorious for violating every international treaty, and yet we have the hypocrisy to say, now we should look at ourselves first. I'm Gary Nall. Let's say hello to Peter. Hi, Peter. Your turn.
Hey there, Gary. Good evening. I'm calling to get an update from you, if you may know, regarding Alec's obstruction or attempted obstruction of nutritionists. And the reason is I'm finishing up my post-bac work in about 2 semesters, and I'm going to start looking to grad schools to become a nutritionist. And I wondered, rather than having to call you about once a year, what source I may look to get keep current on this, or if you have an update on it.
Let's put this in context so other people listening can understand what you're talking about. Going back nearly 25 years, there has been an effort in almost every state to require anyone who is going to be dispensing nutrition information, whether for free or for fee, to first become a registered dietitian. And only then, in those states where you are licensed as a dietitian, can you then practice nutrition. Now, historically, dietitians generally worked in institutional service, meaning in hospitals or in schools, preparing the food for the students. Rarely did they have private practices, because historically the doctor would suggest the kind of diet a person should go on, and generally it was one of two types, either a high-protein diet that was advocated by Robert Atkins, or it was a diet to proportionally give you more of the complex carbohydrates than the refined carbohydrates. That was pretty much the diet. Now, I graduated from dietitian school and went through that long and completely moronic process of getting all those hundreds of hours in institutional care, which was unhealthy. And I remember my students, none of them were healthy. And I also then decided to do a research, and I found that in 1 year, 50,000 Americans died of malnutrition from the hospital, meaning they were not malnourished going in, they developed malnourishment and died. Now, mind you, that meant the doctor who is the one who gives the official diet, but the dietitian is the one that actually implements it, and the nurse oversees the care of the patient. So they were all responsible for letting 50,000 Americans die that we know of, and those are always conservative figures, where no one said something's wrong with what we're doing. And I remember I was thrown out of class. I had to be sent down to the president of the office 5 times. And she kept saying, Gary, what are you doing? Why don't you just shut up and, you know, graduate and get out of here? And I said, well, how can I shut up when every day I'm doing research at the Institute of Applied Biology showing that everything that they're teaching here is wrong? And am I just supposed to stay quiet? And she said, for the benefit of everyone, you're known as the worst student in the school. Worst meaning I was the one that asked questions and spoke up, always politely, never arguing. But yeah. I would bring in study after study showing that sugar is bad. And they would say, to give the calories that a person needs, just give them extra sugar. Give them extra fat. Didn't matter what kind of fat it was. They weren't sophisticated enough to understand the real nutritional biochemistry. In fact, none of them really understood this. So then was I surprised when I was then looking some years later at this legislation. And when I got the call that this was going down, I got it in New York State from a state legislator. He says, Gary, I listen to your radio show on Sunday nights on ABC every night for years, and I know that you would want to object to the idea that only registered dietitians should be allowed to practice nutrition. And I said, well, of course. And he said, well, there's a lot of pressure going on here, lots of pressure. And I said, from whom? He said, special interest groups. Now, we didn't know at the time that it might have been ALEC, because we didn't know ALEC existed for 30 years. It was kept secret that 300 major multinational corporations were meeting twice a year with our state legislators in exclusive resorts and giving them bills, coaching them in the how to pass the bill, then getting both Democrat and Republicans at these resorts so that they would have a bipartisan one from each side to pass the bill into law. Thousands, tens of thousands of laws were passed. I believe all those laws should be then remanded back for review, and I believe that any legislator in America that attended these secret conferences took bills from private for-profit corporations and then passed them as if it was from their own initiative should be charged with a criminal offense and resign. I believe no legislator should be allowed to service, and I believe that everyone listening should write their state legislators. Every member in the state legislature said, have you ever met with any ALEC group? If so, when? What would you discuss? Which bills did you take? And were those bills made into law? Because unless they made that public, then whose interests are they serving? Then why should we elect them if they're not serving the interests of the citizens of their state or their district? In any case, then I became involved, and we began to offer expert testimony that the dietitians were the least qualified persons, and still are, in my opinion, to give health advice. First, they knew nothing about exercise or stress management or psychoneuroimmunology or the role of the environment in a person's health. In effect, all they knew was stupid little simplistic diets, and their diet was not a healthy diet, in my opinion. And I challenged the editors constantly at the magazine they gave. For example, I went back in the archives and found all their old full-page ads about sugar being good for you. And much as I did to the Journal of the American Medical Association, found ads for smoking and why 46,000 doctors smoke Lucky Strike, so it's good for you. Soothes your throat. So anyhow, we then began to see that all of the states at one time started having the legislation. You couldn't have that unless you had a massive secret movement behind the scenes. and we were winning more often than not. But these people were like spitting cobras. No matter how much venom they spit, they reloaded. And they kept coming back and back and back. And then sooner or later, they would pass these. It got to be so bad that a woman in California who had a master's degree from the University of California in nutrition was invited to give a lecture to a private group in Ohio at a hospital, and she was told that if you give this, you will be arrested. And there were monitors from the state that went with tape recorders. She had to drive across the state border in order to give her lecture in a state that didn't have this requirement, because only a registered dietitian could be allowed to give this information. Now, because I'm a PhD with honors in human nutrition and public health science from a highly respected, fully accredited institution, and some people have made the mistake of trying to attack me without doing their homework, right, and they've had to settle lawsuits. One, by the way, right now is being sued, and I just won a $1.6 million lawsuit 2 weeks ago. So people want to screw with my reputation. They're welcome to do so, but understand, I will meet you in court, and you will have your ass handed to you.
That's right.
I've never lost a lawsuit. I don't intend to. But these people have to get some lessons, and even some on some non-commercial radio stations are being taken to court by me right now as we speak. In any case, so here I am. But if you were a PhD in nutrition from Harvard and you decided to give a lecture on nutrition or counsel someone for free, you would be held accountable and you could be fined or arrested, whatever the particular laws were in that given state. That's how draconian, stupid it was. But those are the laws now. That's what exists now. That's why I've suggested people not go that route, but instead go to something far easier and wiser. Become a life coach where you can give insight and information, but you don't have to be a registered dietitian to do so. Hope that answers your question, Peter. We got a lot more calls. All the calls are up. Let's say hello to Sandy from Long Island. Hi, Sandy. You're on the air, Sandy. Please speak up. All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you.
Hi, I just want to ask you a quick question. I'm very overweight, and can I get an adequate amount of protein just from eating, like, let's say, fruits, berries, vegetables, quinoa, a half a cup of black beans, and a proprietary, like, a protein blend?
Okay, Sandy, how long have you been listening to me?
Hold on, just one more quick question, then I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
All right.
It's a blend of pea protein, hemp, and brown rice. It's a 15 grams
for
one scoop.
Sandy, answer me real quick. How many years have you been listening to this program?
A long time, but
why would you call in and ask such a question?
Well, because I just gave up the
Sandy, we got to use some common sense here, buddy. Have you ever seen me? You ever seen me in person? Ever seen a film of mine?
Yes.
If you went up on GaryNoll.com, you could, or on YouTube, you could download it's called the exercise video, Gary Exercising. You see me running around a track, all right? I stop, I got my shirt off, and I'm talking about exercise. Do I look puny to you?
Absolutely not.
All right, do I look like, do you know my record of winning 626 straight championships, including setting multiple records, American records, world records? Just won a national championship 3 weeks ago. You're aware of this, right?
Yes, I didn't know about last week.
No, it was 3 weeks ago Sunday. Yeah. Okay, and I'm 190 pounds, nearly 6'2". I'm a vegan, Sandy. The very things you mentioned, I eat every day. And I've written books on it, multiple books. I've written articles on it, multiple articles. I've led lots of people through all forms of 35,000 people through health support groups that lost weight and gained muscle and reversed aging with the very thing that you're questioning. But the issue for me is, if you've been listening for all these years, A, why are you overweight and been eating meat all this time? And B, why wouldn't you trust the fact that the science is there for you to read? It's not a secret. If you just went on and looked under vegetarian diets, looked under vegan diets, looked under amino acids, the amino acids in a hamburger or a steak that you've been eating, is no different than the amino acids in brown rice, quinoa that you mentioned, or split pea protein or hemp protein. But the benefit is you don't have all the protein and all the toxicity on your kidneys and your liver. So yes, now it's time after listening for all these years to actually do your homework and make the changes that you deserve to be healthy and live a long life. All the best to you, Sandy. George. Hi, George.
Hi, Gary. I'm trying to find an article that you mentioned a while back to somebody else on how to get people who have focus problems or pre-Alzheimer's, things like that, and I can't seem to find the right article.
Okay, it's up on my website. Go to progressiveradionetwork.com, go under articles, and you'll see it in one of the top five or six articles, and it's on preventing dementia, or if you have dementia, protocol, and it's right there, so easy enough to find.
Will that also help if it's not dementia, but it's health-related or something like that? Do you think that might also help? We're not sure exactly.
It wouldn't matter what it is that's going on in your brain. If you had Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, I don't have a different protocol for these. I'm looking at the brain as a whole and how to turn off inflammation in the brain, how you could help the brain, the neurons, rejuvenate. Okay?
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Gary.
All the best to you, George.
Bye-bye.
I'm Gary Nall. We look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day.